Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Jimmy Smith, Alexander Everett, Victoria Barnett, Emmett Lou Moon, Ken Blakely. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Ben Meredith, Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
and... Hello. Special guest. Oh, she's eager. Oh, she's ready to go. Special guest...
Helen Gould.
Yes! And we are playing our one-off special, well, part three of our one-off special, now I think about it, Beowulf campaign with 5th edition. We are sort of playing around with it and getting used to it as a system. Could everyone briefly introduce the characters that you have been playing or failing to play up to this point? Sorry, we're all at the bottom of a lake. I'm going to go ahead and allow you to speak for now, okay, but we will rein this in once the action starts.
Billinger the Gilded.
Yes.
I'm like a barbarian, but gold.
At the bottom of a lake.
At the bottom of a lake. I am Larg, son of Thorg.
Yes.
I've got this whole bear thing going on. Listen to the other episodes. It's hilarious.
Genuinely, why are you starting now? What's wrong with you?
I am, turns page, Ungrak the Collector. Give me your bones.
Ah, yes.
What a beautiful clavicle.
And I have been practicing. Helen's playing a character. She's here. I know you are.
Ish. Where is she?
Who knows?
We'll find the character.
The unremembered passes silently through the world, leaving no trace.
Oh! It's so tragic.
Ulf the Unremembered is one of the best gothic heroes I've encountered in ages. It just ticks every box. It's brilliant.
Really?
Yeah.
Violent, yet forgotten.
It's got tragedy, you know, clearly. I'm assuming Ulf is handsome. I don't know why. Maybe it's the barbarian muscle thing, but I just assume it.
Wait,
he's
did
got
you see the picture?
Complicated arches springing out from... All the different,
it's an interesting physique.
Like a cathedral.
Like a cathedral.
Yeah. No, I got that.
That was, thank you. I try.
Sometimes
I fail.
Cathedral of men. So, we are picking up where we left off. You are all thanes, and Beowulf, your lord, has sort of been a bit nicked by the monster formerly known as Grendel. You tracked it eventually.
It was a bear. Guys, it was a bear.
You tracked it eventually to the bottom of a lake.
Yep.
Again, you tracked it to the bottom of a lake.
Yes, this is completely fine.
And
it's very obvious.
This is exactly how the original story goes, as far as I remember.
This is fine. That's why I was bottom of the lake, definitely, because I think Beowulf was like, yeah, bottom of a lake, definitely. that seems sensible.
I mean, you did breeze past quite a lot of the characters, but that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. Prep is for losers.
We just about met the Queen.
Yep, and then left.
Oh, was that person the Queen?
Yes.
And the orphan.
I assume she was just an accountant. I remember you torturing the orphan by accident.
It was in the way. It was between my javelin and the thing I wanted to hit, which was the door, which was totally what I wanted to hit.
So anyway, we are picking up where we left off, which is... I keep wanting to call you Brindle the Grindled Barbarian. I don't know why.
Brindle Grindle. Billinger
is currently sinking into the lake bed.
In the lake bed. I was going to say, has sunk.
No, you hit bottom and then you kind of kept going. You haven't actually hit bottom yet.
Yeah, so I'm going to try and swim and stop this.
Give me an athletics check with the disadvantage is meeting... I think you have advantage on swim checks normally, don't you?
No.
Excellent.
Not as we're raging.
Yeah. Disadvantage on your athletics.
I was trying to claim an advantage out of having a shield, which is buoyant.
Ah, yes, which is nonsense. That was it.
Nonsense. It's just not helpful. 19.
You manage, by sheer force of effort, to stop the sinking. You have not gone up. You're not going down, but you are swimming at your maximum strength and speed to stay still, half submerged into the bottom of the lake bed. God, that's a weird sentence. Okay, the rest of you are still swimming down last time we checked. Are you attempting to make it all the way to the lake bed?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Nearly.
Oh, I fancy meeting you over here.
So,
a new friend.
Can everyone give me some athletics checks, please?
Oh, dear.
Oh, yay.
9.
15.
Yep.
26.
Nice. So, to deal with the two competent party members here, you make it to the bottom of the lake bed and also don't bury yourself in it. You're just at the bottom of a lake. Mm. It's really dark, really cold, and there are basically no points of reference whatsoever.
I'm doing tumbleweeds.
And you're running out of breath. On the bright side, though, Larg, son of...
Thorg.
...has managed to get himself sunk in the lake bed, too.
Blah, blah.
So... Can everyone now give me a con check? Because I've been messing around with time a bit. This is now... Let's see how you're handling both the cold and holding your breath.
25.
Nice.
11.
Yep.
20.
Yep.
22.
Okay. Guess what? Larg, son of Thorg.
Oh, dear.
15 lake damage. There's pressure, there's cold, and you're running out. It's just lake damage. Okay, it's an elemental type. I'm not going to go into it. Lake elementals are a thing, definitely. I'm not lying. So.
This is why I stick to hunting bears.
Bears don't have damage.
I think you mean...
So, I was narrating.
This is just inside his head.
So Brindle the Golden Grindle, could you please roll me another athletic check not to drown?
Very strange place you've taken this. Yes, sure. Shall I roll like 15 athletic checks and just wait till I critically fail so you can kill
me? I just need to know if you're either getting out of the lake bed or sinking.
17.
Huh? You see? You do. You make it out of the lake bed.
Yay.
At full strength,
yeah.
You are maintaining basic buoyancy. Larg, son of Thor, can I get the same?
24.
Both of you are now above the lake bed.
That's where we want to be.
And the two remaining competent party members, you're now all sort of... I'm messing with time a little bit.
Let's look around for some sign of the monster.
A new person!
So you're all at the bottom of a lake, handling it incredibly well.
Helen, the faces don't get picked up on podcasts. You can look at me like that.
You can stare daggers
all
you want. Anyway, what are you all doing as individuals? Because no one can plan, because you're at the bottom of a lake.
Looking for a monster lair.
Yep. One, two.
Any sign of the passage of a monster.
There can be no aiding because you can't coordinate because you're at the bottom of a lake.
Gonna roll perception.
No, okay, yes, go on.
I'm gonna roll survival.
Right, I've got a 3 - 1.
Yep, you are at the bottom of a lake. You should all be taking disadvantage because you're at the bottom of a lake.
Oh, okay. Well, I rolled a 3 - 1, 2, so I'm not going to bother rolling again.
I'm also looking around.
Okay.
Well, trying to detect monster.
Yeah.
14 - something.
Nice. Beginner's luck. You only just joined the party, you see.
So. I roll to sur-
Those faces ain't doing you anything.
I rolled survival and got a 10.
Okay. So, I got good news for you, Helen. You reckon you can see something at the bottom of this lake other than Moor Lake? There is the distinct glint of gold that isn't this guy over here.
That is a revelation. I thought you were going to be a bit of a knob about it. You're like, oh, you're Superman's character.
No, you can see a glint of gold, and you're like, oh, there. No, he's over there. Ooh. So, yeah, you can see a clear glint of gold in the lake bed a little bit distant. You could swim there. However, you have now been at the bottom of a lake for a while, so, and how you're going to communicate this and all the rest, I kind of leave up to you.
I wave my arms and legs frantically and sort of try and...
I sign with alacrity, follow the friendly merman.
I'll allow that.
Okay. I'm interested in the merman's bones.
What if they have jewellery?
Lead the way then with a final swim check to make it to the glint of gold at the bottom of the lake.
Oh my gosh, Alex has let you have a compulsion. The simpler a gaming system is, the more maths to do. Do
you
roll
2? 12. I never said disadvantage.
Only he's at disadvantage.
Oh. All the rest of you are fine.
Yeah, I'm just, this is my gold.
Oh, well,
tax.
I'm all again.
It's my player tax. I'm a player, so I suffer. So.
Oh, 12.
Plus your athletics.
Yeah, you're doing grand.
19.
Yeah.
16.
Yep.
17.
Yep.
16.
Yeah! Swimming across the bottom of the lake, you only take 19 damage from lake damage.
19!
I rolled max on every dice. So, you all approach the golden glint in the distance at the bottom of the lake. As you get closer, you see something quite weird. At the bottom of the lake, it's like there's a pond. At the bottom of the lake. It's not particularly big. You know, it is, say, 10, 15 foot across max. It's roughly circular. There is a golden light coming out of it, and it's in the bottom of the lake bed. It's like a porthole almost, and you're looking in. There's so much silt and stuff.
Lark
isn't
difficult. Feeling great. He's plunging straight towards it.
Great.
I do my drop maneuver.
Go on.
Oscar star.
And the other two?
Yeah, also right. Going swimming. In there. Yeah, they've gone in.
So I'll start with the guy who drops immediately like a stone. You plummet to this thing.
Dropping its head.
You pass through and break from the surface of water upside down.
What?
Your momentum carries you up out of the water, the weight of the gold, then plunges you.
Right, I belly flop.
Straight back down.
I belly flop. Spider out.
You're now sort of...
Ben adopts simple harmonic motion.
You are now bobbing between the bottom of a lake and apparently the top of a pond. Everyone else, you swim, break the surface of the top of a pond, and have the very unpleasant experience of most of your body being under pressure and pushing you upwards, and then your like lift only passing so far, so you're floating unnaturally high in some kind of cave, and you're in a pool. Gravity is apparently reversed in here, and you are at the bottom of a cave, and it feels like looking up is extremely disorientating.
This feels like it fits with my understanding of the universe absolutely fine.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, everything's
there
flat, there's another side to the disc, we're all good.
Is gold everywhere.
I can't see Billinger.
There.
He's camouflaged.
Coins. There are drinking horns. There are apparently like magical weapons.
Are
jewels.
Larg is mostly gasping for air.
Give me a quick perception check.
Looking for bones.
Everyone?
Yes, everyone.
I'm looking for magical weapons.
I rolled a 14. I rolled an 18.
7.
16. It was 17.
There are bones.
Yay!
There are some excellent examples of human tibia, fibia, a few skulls.
Nice.
Most of them appear to have had almost no trauma to them.
Gnomish.
Oh yeah, there's a lot more gnomish than there are. But the important thing is, like, most of them tend to just be missing, say, a head or an arm. There's not actually much else trauma. What you know, they've been killed really cleanly.
Nice.
I'm going to paddle to the shore.
In terms of, you're asking, like, magical weapons and stuff, you don't have detect magic. There are clearly things...
I didn't roll well.
Nonetheless, there are still things in the horde going...
Are they highlighted when we hover over them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I want to pick one of those things up.
It has item, colon, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. And then it has the word pick up and a little circle and an X on it.
I press X.
Bouncing exclamation mark.
You pick up the glowing sword, and it is a sword. It is a well-made sword, again, magical. It has runic inscriptions along it. You know how you can see a lot of flashy swords and you can see a lot of swords for killing, and often there's not a lot of overlap? This is a sword for killing. It's not, like, brightly coloured or anything like that, but what it does is have a greenish sheen to the blade, and beyond that, it's not really much more ornate than a few runes along the blade. It's magic!
This must surely be unforgettable. I shall take and keep this sword.
Are there any...
Oh, look, a floating sword.
Okay, this is worsening as an effect, clearly.
Are there any two-handed axes?
Yeah.
I'll pick one of them up and give it a few experimental swings.
Okay. You pick up a golden-coated great axe. It's certainly, like, there are a few great axes. A couple of them are broken, which is a bit annoying.
Average axes.
Yeah, they're not great. And then one of them, you start swinging. It's good, but the issue is it's very, very heavy, so you're actually... Mechanically, there'll be advantages to hit in terms of damage, but yeah,
can't have an advantage on damage rolls.
It means a non.
There
non-
will be
a
advantage. Right. There will be a lowercase a advantage in terms of
a benefit.
There will be a benefit on damage.
Oh my god!
However, it's quite flashy, and in your professional opinion, this is kind of falling at the flashier end.
Okay,
than the
I'm going to stick
end.
To my tried and trusty true bear slaying axe. I'm going to look for any potions.
Yeah?
The flashiest looking magical weapon I can find.
The flashiest looking? Well...
The goldenest, most bejeweled.
There is... You sort of dig around, and you find a flail. Now, this flail is jewel-encrusted.
Okay.
The spikes are diamonds.
Whoa.
And the second that you pick it up, it just starts... automatic, like you're not
like
spinning
drone.
It yourself. You pick it up and it's like, oh god, all over the place. You can't control it. It's banging into things.
I'm gonna yell and let go.
Okay, you let go. It continues. Bling, 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 like it's sending coins everywhere. It's making a massive.
Put a basket on it.
There's like shields.
I didn't bring them.
It's now there just spinning in the middle
of... water feature.
Yeah, it's
oh, lovely.
It's not splashing, but it has started to put a slight spiral.
Awesome. I'm,
Turn it into a
whirlpool. I'm gonna qualify what I asked before, because that was a bit of a genie's wish. I'm gonna look for the flashiest magical weapon that I'm proficient in.
Oh, well, that's not what you said, Ben.
It's not, and it's
not
what,
but
it's what I'm
said.
Saying now.
Okay, you do see a great sword... which is buried amongst them. It's extremely flashy. It has a blood red ruby hilt. The blade itself has a red sheen to it. And the handle itself appears to have sort of tiny little barbs in it. You're proficient in it.
You can handle the hand.
You can handle the great sword, Ben.
I prefer one-handed weapons, so.
Oh, fair enough. Well, that is the best one that you're proficient in.
I'm still looking for
Ben's face.
I'm
Ben
for potions.
Is not impressed.
I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
You find a chest, and in the chest are a bunch of potions. They are clearly labelled as well.
Ooh, too convenient.
I find one labelled healing potion and drink it.
It's a potion of cure moderate wounds.
13.
13?
I get 13 hit points back.
Okay, great. Yeah, you find that there are. It looks to be about 10 more in there. And along with that appears to be a potion of invisibility. There is a potion of basically an enlarged person and a shrink person. You've stumbled on...
I take the enlarged person.
And you've stumbled on like an alchemist's chest or
I
something.
I put the enlarged person in my pocket.
So yeah, you...
No, I don't. I put it on the mantelpiece. To later.
There's also a smoking gun, which is just—it's just there anyway already. But yeah, you find it like this is a genuine trove. It's not it doesn't appear to be like a this is a trap trove, at least to your eyes.
I don't know. It might be given the answers to the questions I've got.
Keep asking. I'll keep answering. Anyone else want a delicious thing that I can deny, Ben?
I would like to find a potion as well.
Have a root. Are you looking for anything in particular? There's a lot.
Maybe one of bones.
A potion of bones.
I mean, just
loads of teeth fall out.
Yeah.
You know what you do find?
I'm just going to start stringing bones on a
you
new
do
necklace.
Find a bunch of acid flasks, which from your experience you know nothing will get rid of all that meat faster than dipping your bone in acid.
That's very useful.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's expensive acid.
Yeah.
You have to make it yourself a lot of the time.
I'm
it takes
put
ages.
Put them in my explorer's pack.
Throw me a healing potion.
How many times acid bottles do I have?
Let's call it four.
Have 12 hit points back.
Thank you.
I'll trade you an acid for a heal.
I love that he's become keeper of the potion suddenly. Like,
if I had a lot more, I'd be drinking them myself because I'm still quite badly.
And I mean, he's incredibly generous. He only just met this person.
Yeah. I'll trade you an acid for a heal.
Yes, Ben. You're looking at me, Ben. What would you like, Ben? What can I do for you, Ben?
Can I get a magical short sword, which is something that I would pick up in character, which I try to express in fun terms, but, you know, if you just want me to write a damn contract.
So you're looking for a magical short sword?
Yeah, why not?
That has no curses or disbenefits to using it.
All I'm asking is specificity. Bryn gets it. So, yes, you managed to find amongst the horde a short sword. It appears to be of a weird make for anyone else. It's vaguely sort of Roman make, which is a new one. Oh, so it's weird. More like a gladius, if you know what I mean by that, than like the kind of sword you're used to.
I've seen it in foreign times.
Say again? Yeah. You're like you've seen them in collectors' like cases and things like that. Pristine condition.
Right. Where is this monster slash bear?
Everyone, give me a perception check as his cry echoes through, following so quickly after the auto flail incident.
14.
14?
9.
9?
15.
5. 5.
Are there any bones?
The 15. You can hear a conversation off in the distance down this cave, and like it twists around, and there is firelight coming from a far end of this cave. It's not just a sealed unit.
Is it a conversation between human people?
It is murmured voices. You can't tell more than that. They're quite low voices. They're not up here. They're not gnomish or anything. Okay. But beyond that, you don't really know. However, the voices do stop for a moment after that bellowing cry. And if people want to make more noise, do so. Otherwise, they will recommence once a little bit of time has passed.
I'm going to clank. I got two skulls.
I mean, you're the only one who noticed this, apparently.
Extinct animals.
I heard something.
I'm going to clank them. Oh! Turns around with the two skulls that she's been wearing on her hands like puppets. Hello, new friend. How strange to meet someone here. How did you find yourself in this magical place, along with my two other friends, Boney and Clank?
We swam down here together. My name is Ulf.
I do think I remember
My name
this.
Is Ulf.
I do think it's what?
Clank.
Ulf!
Clank.
That person.
A stowaway.
That's it, that's you done. You can just say that line once every about 10 minutes and you're good, it's all gold.
It's not even me, I've just got this little recorder. I've got on a timer.
It's good voice acting. We pay you for the line once and we just reuse it.
Thank you kindly, stranger. Voice is in that direction.
Just follow me, everyone.
You seem nice, let's do that.
You know what you're talking about, we should get to know each other.
Slam cut two. You are for my sake of sanity, making your way out of the horde room.
Mm. You're the one who f***ed about with the weapons for ages. You can't claim that now.
Along a corridor of stone. It's rough hewn. And as you continue going, the firelight and so on becomes clearer and the murmured voices come closer. You recognise one of the voices as Beowulf. You distinctly hear the word Beowulf. 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 Beowulf.
Pikachu!
He seems okay.
Meanwhile, the rough-hewn corridor that you're carrying along, suddenly you find that your feet, rather than clanking or tapping on stone, are on carpet. It's soft.
What's a carpet?
Exactly. There appears to be a tapestry on the floor of some kind, covered in flowers. It's not very, good. It's all right, you know. And keeping going along, you see what looks to be a small table of some kind up against the side. It's quite narrow. There appears to be some kind of picture upon it.
I look at the picture.
It appears to be a portrait of the monster that you were all facing off against. It looks quite sheepish. It's got nice clear
lighting.
I'm
not stopping for any of this. I'm finding a monster.
Oh, sure. So, carrying on, the voices sort of start to reveal themselves. Eventually, you start making out the odd word here and there, something along the lines of, "Look, I'm saying that it could have gone all right, and instead your son just messed it all up, didn't he?" and the other voice in a nice, deep, resonating, but nonetheless clearly female tone going,
"You don't talk about him like that, okay? He had one job and we had this all locked up. You're the one that insisted on oiling yourself before the fight. What possible use could oiling yourself before a fight be?
Beowulf does not fight without oil. How will people appreciate my contours?"
Are we close to the door?
You are approaching to the point where, without stealth checks, you have made it to the slightly ajar door.
Oh, okay. I mean, I was going to kick it in.
Kick it in anyway.
Kick it in.
I kick it in as she says, "Why would you oil yourself?" And I say,
"Because it makes you nice and shiny!"
Kicking the door in, you see, to our modern eyes, a very chintzy made-up cave. There are what the equivalent of sofas. There are little doilies on the cabinets. There is a cabinet. It has lots of sort of... I'm going to be honest. Again, it looks like a shrine to that monster. And it's lots of stuff like second best son and...
Wow!
You know, whoa. Yeah, it's not great. But
what's the monster 1950s family dynamics all along?
Oh, you've rumbled me! So, stud in this, there is one slightly weird detail beyond the already weirdness, which is everything is built for huge.
Ah.
You are quite small in this space and it's a bit disorientating. Bearing
what
in mind,
does the monster look like?
I'm getting there. Now, Beowulf, you see, Beowulf. I'm going to take a break there and be back in a couple of minutes. Ah!
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
So, welcome back. And yes, I believe I was talking about Beowulf.
I believe I was talking about Beowulf.
So he stood there, still pretty much as naked as when you last saw him, by which I mean he's wearing the equivalent of a loincloth. He seems to have re-oiled himself since you last saw him. He has some serious issues there. But nonetheless, he stood there and he's looking at you. He was in the midpoint of pointing at this huge creature, whatever it is, and has just turned his head to look at you. Now, the creature, it's a huge, literally a huge creature. It appears to be maybe some kind of hag or something. And there is some fur in there.
But it's a bear!
But it's as much like moss as fur. And it is...
Is it swamp personified?
It's It has the same sort of fetid smell to it, but that said, it is also, you know...
Wearing a cardigan.
Yeah, basically. He kind of beat me to the punch there. No, however, it feels very... It feels very much like an affectation, insofar as...
Do I get to roll for initiative yet?
Nope. The creature doesn't appear to necessarily need the clothes, it's just... It just seems to be wearing them.
Do any of us need clothes?
Good question. Okay, can everyone apart from Bryn roll initiative?
I mean, in Iron Age...
I'm rolling it now. GMing be damned.
Yes!
GM be damned. He uttered.
So, Ben, what did you get?
8.
Ben got 8. Lydia, what did you get?
I got 19.
Lydia got 19. Helen?
I also got 19.
I got +3 on that.
Oh, in that case, I got 22.
Nice. I think that's F1, right, Bryn?
What did you get, Bryn?
If you don't want this roll, I'll perfectly happily let it slide by.
What did you get, Bryn?
At 4.
Nice. Is that total?
Yep.
Nice.
Which, if you've been paying attention to the maths.
For those following along at home, fill in your worksheets now.
True to form, Beowulf rolls a natural 1 on initiative. Again, what a guy.
Yeah, me too. Me too, babe.
You were trained by the best.
Okay, first things first.
I'm just not used to fighting non-bears.
Helen, you're up.
I brandish my sword aloft and I yell, Ulf is here to rescue you!
The hag to Beowulf.
Who is it, Beowulf?
Beowulf does not know who is this stranger in our midst! Who are you? What do you want?
Are you not being tormented by this thing?
And I think because we're in initiative, that's all I'm going to allow. I'm not going to give them chance to respond. Okay, Lydia. Your character is up.
I am going to run at the hag with my great axe.
Yeah, correct.
Yes. Are you going to rage?
So I'm going to rage. Yeah, I mean, I'm quite annoyed.
Can you give me a rage yell?
Clank, 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 rattle, rattle.
Are you still
rattle.
Wearing all your bones?
So yeah, all the bones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Are you still wearing the skulls on your hands?
Yes.
Because that might interfere with things.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
I might rinse your advantage then. Just leave it as a normal roll. That's okay. That's okay. So you get 3 normal rolls because you are wearing skulls for hands.
Sure. But 10.
That's
plus
a miss.
7. Oh, 17.
That's a miss.
13 plus 7 is 20.
That's a miss.
Oh. 6 plus 7 is 11.
That's a miss.
No, wait, it's 13. I regret my skull hands.
But importantly, we're both still wearing our bling.
So yeah, you... Rah, bang, bang. And basically your... It was axe, right?
Yeah.
The axe starts trying to bury itself in this creature's legs. Again, it's huge and this space is built for it. It doesn't have to hunch or anything. And there's the distinct sounds of...
Stop it! Quit it!
Meanwhile...
Does that look amazing, though? Remember, I've got big extinct animal skulls on my hands.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, also, you are, like, reaching, what, incredible. Knee height of this huge creature? A little bit higher, so...
We'll just have to hack our way up.
The creature looks down at you. Very well, then. Reaches up and just plows its fist down towards your head.
Aww.
What's your AC?
It is 18.
Don't mind me.
I don't like the expression on your face right now.
I really hope that the creature bruises its fingers on all of my spiky bone.
With a weary sigh, the creature goes, places its hands out, and suddenly where before were just these kind of mossy, like almost mouldy looking hands, huge claws extrude. Massive things. They appear to be bone. And you've never seen anything quite so sharp or quite so pristine.
Lovely.
Clearly, you've met someone who appreciates, you know, good bones. Mm. And then it buries them in you. It swipes right with one hand, swipes left with the other, and deals 22 damage.
Whoa. 4 hit points, guys.
Oh, dear.
Ching, ching. And it doesn't throw you backwards because it throws you to the left, catches you in midair with the other swipe and swipes you back and you just land exactly where you were with huge gashes in you on either side.
Crunch.
Pretty much.
Oh, I can see my ribs.
Oh, and they're so good. Ben, you're up.
Yes, so I'm going to rage and kind of not getting the situation. Like, for Beowulf! And
read the room, Ben. Read the room.
Yeah, so attack thrice. With this obviously great magic sword you got me.
Oh, yeah, it's all good.
So that's 25.
Nice.
No. I rolled a 1 and a 2, so
yeah,
no.
Yeah,
ooh, and 18.
That's assuming you're not getting further bonuses for your shiny new magic.
You get one solid hit. I will calculate the magical effects.
Okay.
If you calculate the mundane.
12.
You bury it into the creature, and then, you know, the creature appears properly hurt by this. It turns, looks at you, and then suddenly you hear a hissing and a sizzling. And although you can't feel it, there's the distinct show of burns coming from inside the creature where you've buried the sword. And as you pull it out, the remnants of blood and so on steam off. And
ha!
The creature just turns.
Oh, I will have you!
At which point, huge bone-esque teeth start to protrude from its mouth.
Healthy bone teeth.
In a sort of...
As I slump towards the floor in agony, I'm just like, I appreciate the effort you've put into your calcium intake.
Like you know,
can't
how...
be easy in this economy.
Like, you know how sharks get multiple rows of teeth?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That kind of thing, and they're all starting to protrude. Now, Bryn, also known as...
Larg, son of Thor!
Yes.
You take this bear, Larg. You take him good.
I step into the room and drink my potion of enlarged person.
You are now a large creature. Not a huge creature, but a large creature. With all of the strength benefits that implies.
Yeah, that's my turn.
The creature does notice you. This is a noticeable problem. This has gone from pest extermination to... Oh, I might need to get someone in for this. Okay.
I've had that potion.
At which point, Beowulf turns, he sees all of this and goes, cripes! And legs it. He bombs it out of the room, quick as he can. The larger creature seems to ignore him, and he just legs it into and out of a door at the far end of the room. Who knows what it leads to? At which point, Helen?
I'm going to follow Beowulf. How dare he still not recognise me?
You incepted him and everything.
Oh yeah, you did scream your name at his sleeping form. How does he not get you?
That's how I introduce myself to people all the time. No,
genuinely, I'm chasing him. Also,
sure.
This is super suspicious.
So the big, huge creature uses its reaction. You have to sort of go past it. It is sort of filling the space. The room is its size. It takes a swing at you with one of its massive razor claws.
Oh, no.
Hits.
Oh, no.
I don't recommend it.
No. Neither would I.
Dealing only 7 damage.
Oh, my thirst for justice.
Nonetheless, you sort of take the hit, but have enough momentum that you can burst through the door into what's clearly a bedroom. And there is a huge-sized bed there with a basic desk. And upon the bed lies the creature which attacked. It is bandaged up, it is poulticed up, and it's just on the bed. And it turns to look at you and goes,
"No more! No more!
It remembers me!"
Give me a perception check.
Okay. I don't care what happens now. Oh.
Good.
You say that.
Lydia, you're up.
I am going to... I assume that I'm slumped on the ground.
You're still technically, mechanically stood.
Yeah.
You're mechanically absolutely fine until you aren't.
Yeah.
It'd be a great chance to show off the death mechanics. We haven't even examined them yet.
Okay, I guess I mean, I am enraged by this.
Are you? You don't sound enraged.
There we go. Don't you slash open my thorax. Those are my bones.
Look, she's a minus one intelligence. She heard the words. It just sort of joined her vocabulary.
I definitely feel like Lydia is the person who finds insect biology much more interesting than mammalian. So it's just that's the middle bit.
More going on. I mean, frankly, I could have dealt with an exoskeleton right now.
You basically made
you
one.
Yourself.
Oh, it really hurts. This is for my left rib and attacks. With a 3 plus
apparently
7.
Your left rib didn't take much that damage.
Yeah,
you were...
this is for my right rib. Oh my
god, Lydia!
What was this? Yeah, nice.
That's a 6 and a 5.
Nice.
So and this is for all the blood.
That's a
1 and an 8.
So your total rolls from those six dice were 1, 2, 5, 6, and 8.
Yeah.
Wow. So you you see red, and you're used to that. You see rage, you see red, and then the enemies fall.
Yeah.
This red is mostly your own blood just obscuring your vision. This is for this. What everyone else hears is left.
Every time that I take a swing with my axe, you actually see more blood spraying out the side.
I mean, Lark ducks briefly as your axe just swings over his head. You're not even facing the right way.
What you're saying is you're juicing yourself like a bear.
Yes.
Right, so that happened. At which point, then, we will head on to... The creature looks at you. You can't see this.
No, covered in blood. I see red! My own blood.
Everyone else, you see what can only be described as a little bit of pity. And then it backhands her anyway.
Oh, no. Hey, maybe it misses.
It's got advantage.
Oh, no.
Does it?
If we take advantage on our attacks against it, it gets
reckless
advantage.
Attack, yes,
yeah. Yeah, it's very true.
On its attacks against us.
Plus, I mean, it should really have advantage anyway. She's technically blinded, I think, at this point. And deals probably enough to lay you out. Ooh, you might be lucky.
No, I'm not. I know what you're adding to each of those, and what you're adding is more than I have.
Deals 9 damage to you. It's not even a huge slash. It just backhands you and just
okay,
goes,
so
bang.
I'm on -5.
Okay, so... Time to engage in how not to die in 5th ed.
It's really simple.
And aside,
yeah.
It's actually really simple. On each of your turns, you roll a d20. If you roll more than a 10, you have made a live save. If you roll less than a 10, you made a death.
Oh.
It's 1st to 3. 3 successes,
I
and
see
you stabilise. 3 deaths, and you're dead.
Okay.
If you roll a 20, you are up and on 1 hit point, and if you roll a natural 1, it counts as 2 bad saves.
Okay, dear. Complex.
Yes and no. Once you've done it once or twice, you'll be fine.
Yes,
so, like, once we get
once
you up and then we hit you back down.
Several times.
So,
okay.
Lydia, your character falls in a tumbled pile of bones.
You remember what was happening with the oil earlier? But my blood.
The creature takes a second attack at who's nearest?
Both of us, really.
Let's
you're
go
closer
for,
than I am.
Let's go for
oh,
stabby, stabby McFlamey sword.
Ah! Shield!
What's
shield.
Your AC?
Shield!
What's your AC?
You're getting advantage.
Yep.
It's 18. But you're getting advantage.
You might actually be all right. Nope. It is. Dealing 8 damage.
Cool.
It basically hits your shield, keeps going and going, oh, you're quite big, you're quite big.
Yep.
And then the claws curl around the shield and bury into you a bit. Yep. Okay, at that point...
the gold, it does nothing.
Why did I go for such a soft metal?
Oh yeah, it's so shiny.
But it's your turn now.
Cool. I don't go down that easily, monster! And go for another 3.
Read the room, just read the room. Okay. I'm kidding.
I'm a raging barbarian.
Yeah, you are.
How dare you. Nope. And nope.
Guys,
6 dice with all no... Oh, come on.
Guys,
all under
guys,
6.
We're going to have to do better than this.
Yep.
Gonna.
Bryn, why are you letting this happen? You have all these dice that you could swap in and fix their broken dice. And you're not swapping them in to
I've
fix...
I've swapped mine many times.
Oh, okay, that's all right then. That's all right. In that case, then, we have... Bryn, you're up with your swapped dice.
Monster, you may have taken down one of the companions I travelled with... But I still have the other! The 3 of us will not be beaten!
Luckily, Ulf does not hear this.
I'm enlarged, so I'm even louder than normal.
You,
so
you
I'm pretty
this.
Sure you do.
You do. I'm afraid you just do. Maybe... Even over the sound of battle, even like the weeping form on the... Yeah, no.
Grendel's like your best friend now. He's the only person who's remembered you.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. Yeah.
I charge and attack 3 times.
Go.
26.
Hit.
18.
Miss.
23.
Hit.
First hit... 17.
Oof.
Second hit. 17.
Oof.
Solid. That was a good turn.
I'm enlarged. It helps.
Yep. Yep.
Well, no, hitting helps.
That's it. That's it.
Rolling above 4.
So, give me a perception check, Helen.
Okay.
Okay, cool. It's your
three
turn.
Three minus one is...
You are in a fairly empty bedroom.
Fill out
with
your worksheet. It's at home.
With a huge bed, a huge desk, and a crying Grendel on the bed, staring at you in fear.
I approach Grendel. You remember me?
Yeah, I remember you.
What is my name?
Oh, you're, oh, what's his name? Larg, son of...
Please! Leave me alone! How could I forget? Please, Larg, son of Throg, don't hurt me.
Oh, my God.
Do I have another action after this? Because
you haven't done anything yet. Yeah.
I raise my sword.
you know what?
I'm going to hack his head off.
I'm going to say that the creature is helpless. It's that injured from your last attacks and escaping with the fire. It's just, it isn't in a great shape. You managed to kill the helpless, huge creature by just hacking it again and again in the neck. There's no art to this.
So remember
There's no
what you
skill.
Do to the things you kill.
I leave my name.
Are you screaming your own name as you hack his head off? You hear a cry from him going,
Mark, no!
Meanwhile, everyone else, the creature that is in the main room, its face goes ashen and it turns to the bedroom, and you all hear, even, I want to say, Ulf? I want to say Ulf. It is Ulf, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So even Ulf hears a creature just...
No! What did you do?
And it's turned and it's facing the bedroom, basically. And with that in mind, it then barges past all of you, barges into the room.
Attack opportunity, please.
Oh, yeah. Anyone who can, please do.
Oh, do I get one?
No,
you're
unconscious. You're a heap on the floor.
I rolled 19 on both my d20s.
Nice.
19 damage.
And I got 23.
Yep.
12 physical damage, and magical is up to you. So we did some hurts.
Yeah, you sink it, it doesn't seem to notice. Not because you haven't done damage. Especially this magic sword thing. It's a lot better than the auto flail, I'll tell you that. It just bashes through. And then she sees Grendel on the bed. She sees the blood everywhere.
Are you? Wait, is Ulf carving his name into the
corner? Ulf just turns.
What have you done the U?
Mid-carve.
I'm just finishing off the F and I just look up like someone's interrupted me.
You're like a cat that's, killed a bird and then you're like, what?
Yes. Exactly.
And you just go, oh.
Yep.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yep.
So, the creature looms. Draws both of its claws up, its teeth shining out, fire in its eyes, and then drops to its knees. The claws go away, the teeth go away, and it just begins wailing.
Why? 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 Why did this have to happen?
It's my initiative now.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Because you're a horrible monster!
And then leap on its back and just jam the sword repeatedly into its spine.
You don't need to do attack rolls. Oh, okay. It's not fighting.
Good of grace!
Alas,
I will kill you for Beowulf! You won't take him hostage any longer!
Okay. Another bear falls!
It takes a minute, a solid minute of hacking it, uninterrupted.
I start helping as well.
It's just there, slowly, like the cries start dying down. At first, where you're like, ha ha, how about you? How about your heart? At the end, it's like, oh. Okay, come on.
I think mechanically my rage runs out.
Yeah, it does.
My last person runs out.
Okay, come on now. Come on.
We've also had enough time has passed for Lydia to make all her save or,
Live
or die. And we didn't help.
No, I didn't. First roll.
Yep.
That's a one. So that's two failures right out of the gate. You want to add them to your sheet.
What's really nice is that, of course, there would be time to save me.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. But unless Ulf is sidling past to save
me. But look who you hitched your wagon to, this pair, and that's it.
They're hacking away and I'm just quietly bleeding out.
Okay, try again.
Third one. Okay.
That's a fail.
That's a fail. You bleed out so hard.
Quietly,
just so hard. And so fast.
Pass away.
I'll allow you.
To the land of bones.
I love it there. So it's a wake up, sort of get up, and there's a clanking feeling. I realise it's just my skeleton rising out of my body. And I look out, and it's a desolate wasteland. There's that screaming wind.
Like an elephant graveyard
kind
of thing.
Heaps of bones. Some of them rising up into great mountains that go up into the clouds with lightning. It's showing down. This is the best.
a little happy skeleton climbs away into the
I love it. Best exit ever.
once the bloodied corpse is finally done twitching.
The corpse finally slumps, and it took ages.
Well,
like,
I mean, what is Ulf doing during this massacre?
Yeah, they're just hacking at this crying form that's staring at you with, clearly, it might be dying as you watch, but on the inside, it was dead the moment it walked in the room.
I finished my signature.
Oh my gosh,
you're brutal. Right. So once the corpse
the creature
stopped twitching.
Has stopped twitching, it's not regenerate, it's just dead.
I walk over to Ungrak, check whether he is alive or dead.
Yep.
Presume I can tell that he's dead.
Give me a heal check. With no proficiency bonus or points in it.
No.
What'd you roll?
Three.
You'll be fine.
I try and shake him away.
The head falls off.
Okay, it might take like a day or two.
I reach into your pack.
Yep.
Get out your bagpipes and start playing a funeral lament on the bagpipes.
Of course, give me a perform check. You are proficient with the
bagpipes.
It's
important to notice that all of us had bagpipes in our original equipment.
Oh, the whole time.
And we've all been proficient in them.
Yep.
I'm ending this episode with bagpipes.
What did you get?
Nine.
Do it at disadvantage because it's a waterlogged bagpipe that's gone through the bottom of a lake.
Yeah, the other one was higher.
So. Eventually you manage to shake it out and give what might be a tune.
So
a single tear rolls down my cheek.
While that's happening, I'll sheathe my sword, walk over to Ulf and go, "Thank you, friend. Who are you again?"
Wait, does Ulf kill everyone? Yes, I attack.
I am entirely murdered.
I'm going to do a very unusual thing here. Slam cut.
Yep.
3 days later, Ulf makes it out of the forest alone, having been forgotten one too many times. In tow, you have Beowulf, who you eventually found hiding under the bed. As your journey had progressed, you learnt of the con that they were attempting to pull, which kind of went a bit south when you burned down Heorot. You arrive. Queen Wealhtheow is there. She's ready to greet you. You give Beowulf over. You explain the situation. You say all of this, and then Wealhtheow looks you dead in the eye and says, "Thank you. Thank you so much. You're the first genuine, like, hero that we have met. Who are you, stranger?"
Weeping.
Zoom close in on the eyes of Ulf as they widen. Tears stream down, and in them we see reflected the burning remains of a gnome village.
I go completely along with that.
Wow! So that went really dark.
Turns out the monster was us, but actually Ulf.
Oh my god. And there is our story of where the monster The monster is, well, is just...
And that
yeah,
was the
wow.
true story of Baal.
So don't put that in the textbooks, do they?
Yeah, you got to learn something.
Thanks for joining us, Helen. You went a bit crazy there, but yeah, I had a good time. If anyone wants to sort of examine more of your work or like chase down things that you do in events that you're appearing at, is there anything that you'd like to sort of promo, mention or point people towards?
Oh yeah, I've got a blog. It's called blackfemgeekery.wordpress.com and that's fem with F-E-M.
Great. Well, thanks a lot and thanks again for coming along. Thanks everyone for listening. And thus ends the Sargoths and Beowulf.
And some other guy.
Don't test me.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
We've been showing off because there's a new
They've
friend.
Been playing up is what they've been doing. That's and also great. In the room, and that's who we're talking to. We didn't just go wrong.
Oh, yeah. It's stuck into this mystery sick person.
Right,
are we we're all hallucinating together.
I don't know. I think Anil could be a mutual hallucination.
Are you a mutual hallucination?
That got weird.
Yeah.
Does that mean that
he
I just...
He hasn't said anything.
It is very hot in here.
And he just looked at me slyly when I asked that, and that's what a hallucination would do.
Right, we all good to carry on?
Yeah.
What are you doing, Lydia? Why would you stack dice before I start recording? Right, fine. Right, you ready?
Speaking of playing up...
Ed's going to have a fit. He's going to cry. Do you have any idea how much work this is already? Right, you all good? Ed.
Got to run a tighter ship then, don't you, Alex?
Yeah, it's true. Ben, could you leave just at the time?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello all, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Programme. The Programme audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The programme is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about the programme at www.rustyquill.com or www.programmeaudioseries.com or search for the programme audio series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.